Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to View from the Top Rope. I'm Chad, here in Zeus's Lair as always. We do have a special guest in Zeus's Lair. His name's Frank. He's a pug. He's visiting with us for a few days. But I am joined, as always, by the bowling savant who has out-bowled me this week and this entire time in our new league, the man, the myth, the bowling legend, Diesel.
Yep, I can bowl now, somehow.
And he can rhyme as well, apparently.
That was an accidental Dr. Seuss line there. But
how's your week been, Diesel?
It's been pretty good. The Packers won, but the Badgers won earlier today, so all my sports world is all right.
Yeah, the Brewers are doing pretty solid. I mean, they just got to win out, and the Rockies got to lose out. It's possible.
It's possible, but even if they don't, they had a pretty good season. Winning season, no one saw that coming.
I was about to say, it's a good season regardless, because we thought they were going to be terrible. So
yeah, some people predicted them to have 100 losses.
Yeah, so anything above 500 this year, I'm happy with. I've had a pretty solid week. I do have to put an apology out to the XWAers, that's a.k.a. my eFed, because I've kind of no-showed the past couple weeks, and I'm sorry about that. I was a little burnt out on it. I was a little annoyed about losing. Not because I did like anything anyone else did. I just hate losing. But I'm feeling better. I'm coming back. Don't worry. It's done. Jester's back. And I just wanted to say that and apologize to my opponents who I no-showed on. Sorry about that.
So you're pulling a Stone Cold Steve Austin then?
Yeah, I pretty much took my ball and went home for a while.
Yeah, well, welcome back from everybody at XWA, but I don't know if I can say that. But
hey, well, thank you, Diesel. At least you somebody said it. So we're going to move right ahead and we're going to go to my favorite segment of the week, the mystery brain buster of the week. See, I like that. That was good. That was good, Diesel.
It was good. Right off the top of my head too.
Like it. So you're going first this week, we decided.
Yes, I am. You ready for my question?
Oh, as always, I am.
Okay. My question is, what match stipulation that they haven't used in years in the WWE would you like to see? So today, like, for example, if a couple months ago you wouldn't have been able to use the Punjabi prison, but that now it's too recent. So something that's been quite a while, you can't even really remember the last time they used it.
Okay, so quite a while. You should probably already know what my answer is going to be.
I think I know what your answer is going to be.
Because I talk about it all the time that I really want to see one of these matches.
Usually when I know what your answer is going to be, you surprise me and don't use that answer. So I was hoping maybe this would be the case as well. But, I mean, if I'm thinking what you're thinking, it's a good one. So might as well enlighten me here.
I'm going with the Three Stages of Hell match.
That's what I thought it was going
to be. Yeah, it had to be that match. This is my favorite stipulation ever. You can do so many cool things with it. You can do three different stipulations with it. And they had the Triple H, HBK one, which is not one of the greatest of all time. It's kind of just a, you know, gratuitous love affair between the two of them. But it's a good match, and I just love that stipulation. And I really want to see a tag team Three Stages of Hell match between the Usos and the New Day, but they just won't give it to me.
Well, they also had the Triple H Stone Cold one that was better.
Oh, yeah, 100 times better.
But that's a good one. Mine would be First Blood match.
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, they couldn't do it today, but, I mean, I always liked the First Blood match. I mean, because always was build up that was literally blood had to be shed to end this feud, and I was always a fan of that match. And I also would like to see a Buried Alive match.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
That's
as well.
An honorable mention for me.
Honorable mention for that. If I had to give an honorable mention for this, I would say a strap match. In the WWE, like a full-on – actually, no, I don't even want a strap match. I want a bull rope match. I want them tied together just like they had in Ring of Honor between Jay Lethal and Cody Rhodes.
You want a country whipping match?
Yeah, I didn't watch the Raw, but we'll bring that up now, I guess.
We don't have to bring that up now. We'll wait till we get there.
Oh, thank you, Diesel.
Leave people in suspense.
Leave them in suspense. What are we talking about right now?
What are we talking about? Well, I guess we're going to move on to another question.
I think we are, Diesel.
And for once, we're going to have a question from somebody that's not sitting in this room with us.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Someone on Twitter reached out to us, and Diesel's got all the info and the questions, so we're going to go over this question.
Dude, this question is from @Joker331PK, and they want to hear our thoughts on the future of WCPW.
All right, do you want me to take this one first then?
Go right ahead.
All right. I'm going to be flat out with you. I am super worried about the future of WCPW. Adam Blompier, Adam Pacitti, King Ross, all of them, Jack, they were like the driving force behind what really became WCPW. Without them in the beginning, it wouldn't have been what it is. And I know they have a lot of great wrestlers and everything, but honestly, they were the ones running it for behind the scenes as well. So I just don't know if they have the people behind the scenes to run it. And I mean, they can clearly keep getting wrestlers, so I think it'll be solid, but I don't think it'll ever be as good as it once was. I think it's going to level off now and just be another promotion.
I think it'll be fine. I think that right now it's hot and they're going to ride this wave for a little while longer. And I think whoever is taking over is going to figure it out. I don't think it's going to be that hard to figure it out because it's a place where people want to come already to wrestle. So, I mean, if they get the right people in there and people that know what they're doing behind the scenes, I think it'll be just fine. It might have a little bit of a drop off right away, but I think they'll be able to sustain for a while at least.
Yeah, see, and I hear what you're saying, and but you're kind of saying what I'm saying with sustaining. Like, I think they've now reached their peak now that they've lost their driving force of it, which is why I'm saying I'm worried about how WCPW is going to continue on. I think they're going to lose a lot of wrestlers, to be honest, as well. I think Joe Hendry, I think Travis Benjamin's a receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers. Wow.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's possible, but I think he'll be fine. I just have a feeling that it'll be fine. I don't know. I can't really explain right now, but I still think they have a bright future. They're still new. They're only a year old. I mean, to say that they've peaked already, that's a horrible thing. I mean, because it's new, it's fresh, it's different, but it's familiar at the same time. I just think it'll be fine. I don't think people are going to stop watching because five guys left. I mean, maybe a couple will, but there's hardcore fans out there that definitely will not, like us.
I mean, their viewership's already down. You just see it on YouTube already. The viewership's already down.
Yeah, but that's for now. I mean, it could go up.
Oh, no.
For all you know, it could be better than it ever was. Maybe they learned something from letting these guys go. Or, you know, maybe there was a reason these guys left. No one knows why they've gone.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
So, I don't know.
I do seriously like the chick who's doing Fast Count better than I like Jack. Jack did honestly annoy me, and I told you this before. And I just need you to know that I do like her better than I like Jack.
I do not.
I understand.
I like Jack a lot.
I know.
And it's blasphemy.
I knew you were going to say that.
So, well, I don't know. Do you have any more thoughts on the subject?
No, I think we can come to an agreement that we think WCPW is not going anywhere right now. But we don't really agree on what the exact long-term future of what WCPW is.
I can agree on that.
All right, fair enough. So it's my turn for the mystery brainbuster of the week. And I'm going to go something a little weird because I've been watching a lot of superhero movies lately. So this question, Diesel, is going to be kind of one of those matching questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a superhero and then I'm going to give you their arch rival. And I'm going to ask you to give me who you think the superhero would be with by wrestler. You can go with any wrestler in the world. Doesn't matter. And then you're going to have to give me who his rival would be as the villain. And I know you don't know a ton about superheroes and such as much as I do. So I'm going to go very simple. I'm only going to do six. We're going to do three heroes and three villains. All right?
Okay.
All right. You ready for this then?
Bring it on.
All right. So the first one, we're going to go with a superhero I know you know quite well because we've seen the movies together. You also watch Gotham on television right now. So the first
one is The Flash.
Nope. We are going with Batman, clearly.
Okay.
And do you want me to give you both the hero and the villain right away?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so clearly, if I'm giving you Batman, I hope you can assume who the villain's going to be.
The Joker?
Yep, good job, buddy.
Do I have to answer one before the other?
You can do whichever one first you want.
Okay, my answer for the Joker would be Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman. Batman is a tough one. I don't know. They call him Superman, but I'm going to go with John Cena.
Oh, that's an interesting pick right there.
I don't know. Batman's kind of a guy, like, in the movie, at least the Dark Knight movies, the people weren't really behind him, but he was doing good. You know, he was saving people, and I don't know, John Cena's kind of that way. People weren't really behind him, but he was still kind of doing good. He was burying people, but I mean...
Yeah, but he was trying to do good by what he thought was good.
Well, he was helping out the company a lot. So, I mean, in the long run, he really was doing good. So.
Exactly. Yeah, just like Batman would help out Gotham. So hey, that's
WWE is Gotham in this scenario.
In this scenario, WWE is Gotham City, and John Cena is Batman. All right.
Ambrose is the Joker.
And Dean Ambrose is the Joker. Totally cool with both of those answers. All right. The next one we're going to go with is another huge person, Superman.
Okay.
Clearly. So I'm glad you used John Cena already, because now you're going to get a way more interesting answer. And his arch nemesis is Lex Luthor, who is, you know, kind of a genius. He's not the strongest guy, but he outwits everyone. So these are your choices, and give me your wrestlers.
My Lex Luthor.
Yeah. No Lex Luger. Please don't put him as Lex Luthor.
Every single time. But no, this blasphemy again. I would go with Triple H all day long as Lex Luthor. He's maniacal.
Ah.
I mean, he's the cerebral assassin.
All right.
I mean, especially with his shaved head look now.
Yeah.
I think, he'd be a good Lex Luthor.
Okay.
Superman. I mean, Roman Reigns is a Superman punch, but he's not Superman. So,
no.
Man, Superman is a little tougher. I mean, I think like John Cena better as the Batman role. So, wow. Superman. Wow. I'm going to go AJ Styles.
Whoa.
Changing it up.
That's a good answer.
I'm changing it up.
Oh, change it already.
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, all right. That's a better answer for Superman. Just overpowering everyone. Yeah, that sounds... He has all the moves. I mean, he's unstoppable. He is Superman.
And he has kryptonite, too. Like, sometimes he loses, like, Goldberg.
Yeah, just random things he sometimes loses to. But then he overcomes because he is Brock Lesnar, a.k.a. Superman.
Yep. So, Superman's Brock Lesnar. Lex Luthor is Triple H.
All right. And then finally, because I wanted to get some ladies in here, clearly, because you know how we represent women's wrestling. We love it. And anyone who's a lady out there who listens to podcasts, if you want to check us out, we definitely respect women very much.
That's true.
So the final one is Wonder Woman, and her arch nemesis is Chitara. She's actually just Cheetah. Chitara is from Thundercats. Sorry. She's just Cheetah. And do I need to explain? Cheetah is very agile, quick. She's a jungle cat. She's kind of infused with it. Jungle Cat, and you know who Wonder Woman is, clearly.
Yep. Okay. So, for Wonder Woman, I am thinking Becky Lynch.
Oh.
I don't know. I just feel like she just seems like she's a Wonder Woman, you know, like that kind of – maybe it's kind of like gear she wears. I don't know. It just reminds me of something that Wonder Woman would wear. I mean, obviously
a little of the steampunk style. Yeah. I can see what you're talking about.
And so then – Cheetah or whatever her name is. Cheetah. Sasha Banks.
Ah, see, I like that.
Agile. I mean, Sasha Banks does kind of remind me of a cat a little bit in the ring, like the way she moves around and is quick and she's small, so she can like escape moves very quickly or easily. So I like those. I like those two is Cheetah and Wonder Woman.
All right. See, Diesel, I told you it was an interesting question. I told you it makes sense once I asked it.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it.
All right. So then I can run through mine. So my Batman and my Joker. My Joker is actually from New Japan, because I didn't tell you that you had to go with WWE. I know you did, but my Joker is Kushida. Not Kushida. I'm sorry. The Ticking Time Bomb.
Takahashi.
There you go. I'm sorry. I had a way big brain fart right there. Could not bring his name to my head right there. The ticking time bomb is my Joker because he symbolizes more of the Joker than anything I've seen in wrestling in a long time. He carries around a stuffed cat, for gosh sakes.
Hilarious.
It's amazing, and he just wrecks people. And then my Batman is actually going to be Will Ospreay.
Ooh.
Because Will Ospreay can do things that no normal man can do. And that's what Batman does. Batman is, you know, jumping off of buildings and, you know, swinging around. And Will Ospreay is jumping over top ropes with no, you know, restraints and flipping all around. And so that would be my Batman and my Joker right there.
I like it.
Yeah, so I went with cruiserweights for that one. My Superman and my Lex Luthor. My Lex Luthor is actually Kevin Owens.
Ooh.
Because he is a maniacal madman. And his contraptions he builds and everything in matches to try and hurt people is exactly what he would have to do to try and destroy Superman. And it's hilarious when he's building those contraptions because he gets those crazy grins on his face and he's like putting chairs together and then he always ends up going through them.
That's the best part.
It is absolutely awesome, and that's why I love Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens is my Lex Luthor, and my Superman is John Cena.
Okay.
I went with the easy route on that one. John Cena he recovers from everything, and then he buries everyone. I mean, he's undefeatable, I mean, until very recently, just like Superman near the end, right before he got beaten at the end. But so he was Superman for so long that he is my Superman going against Kevin Owens.
Okay, I like it.
And then finally, my Wonder Woman versus Cheetah. My Wonder Woman, I thought about honestly going with Mickie James as my Wonder Woman, but I actually went back farther and I'm going with Trish Stratus as my Wonder Woman. And then I'm going with AJ Lee as my Cheetah because I think that's something that I've always wanted to see. So, and I think they both represent exactly what they should be. Trish Stratus was beaten down and then became the greatest of all time. And AJ Lee was kind of a crazy person and just attacked people. It was great.
I can't argue with those ones either.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed coming up with that question, and it really was fun because I got into an argument on Twitter about who I thought a superhero would be, and they were like, I already chose this person, and I was like, well, I don't agree.
And you didn't. And I wouldn't expect you to. But while you were talking, I thought of something that furthered my John Cena being Batman scenario. As we already said, the WWE is Gotham. So that would make Vince McMahon Commissioner Gordon.
That's a really good thought there, Diesel.
I mean, think about it. Commissioner Gordon's the only one that's behind Batman, and the only one that was behind John Cena was Vince McMahon. So,
for a very long time, that's 100% correct. I love your theory.
Ding, ding, ding.
You hear that, kids? That's the sound of the bell. That means class is in session with Professor Diesel, and it's time for Pro Wrestling History 101.
It's time for Wrestling History
101.
That was improv right there, folks.
Welcome to our lives.
So, well, take your seats, kids. We got a doozy for you.
Doozy of tidbits.
And this week, today is Saturday as we're recording this, but we usually do a Friday through Thursday week. So I'm going to keep with the Friday through Thursday. So we're going to go back a day and then move ahead. So this week is September 29th through October 5th.
All right. Hit me with it.
And we're starting on September 29th in 2003 at a Raw in Chicago, Illinois. I gave Chad some homework.
Yeah, he did.
He did not do his homework.
I did not do my homework.
We're in the future, I'm going to try to pick out a match from my history lesson here and then we'll review this match, whether we think it's good or bad. And this match was a hell of a match, and it would have been great for him to review it. I don't feel like I want to review it because he hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in this match.
My dog ate my homework.
Oh, well, that's not going to fly with me, Chad.
All right.
Not today. You're not getting any gold stars today, no matter what you do.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It can help raise your grade, though.
I'll think about it.
Okay. Well, anyways, so this match I'm talking about was Rob Van Dam versus Christian. The main event at that Raw. It was for the Intercontinental title in a ladder match.
Oh, man, I really should have done my homework.
And it was a really good one. It's one of the best ladder matches I've ever seen, and no one ever talks about it.
That's really weird.
And, sorry, spoilers, Chad.
I'm ready.
RVD comes out on top. Christian came in as champion. RVD won.
Yeah, sounds about right.
There's a lot of huge ladder spots. In this match, Christian reminded me a lot of Kevin Owens, as you were saying, like, trying to build contraptions a little bit and taking the bumps on the ladder. And, of course, they teased early in the match, RVD going up to do a five-star frog splash from the big ladder.
Yeah.
And Christian pushed him off. So, of course, by the end, they did it.
He did it, yeah. He clearly had to.
So, I mean, you should still watch this match.
I'm clearly going to.
It's a really good one. Like I said, watching entire Raw, there's a lot of good stuff on this Raw, including Jim Ross defeating Jonathan Coachman in a country whipping match.
Yeah, you also told me I should have watched this match.
I was laughing so hard. But yeah, Jim Ross was taking some wicked whips to the back, and the whole, and on commentary, it was Al Snow and Chris Jericho. Because at the time, Jonathan Coachman and Al Snow took over commentary. I don't remember the exact reason why. And JR and the King were trying to get their jobs back. And then, hence this match, the winner got to be their commentary team, was the commentary team of Raw. And JR was dressed in his Oklahoma Sooners jersey.
Of course.
And this was in Chicago, Illinois. And in Green Bay that night, the Bears were playing the Packers on Monday Night Football. So at the beginning of Raw, and I remember this vividly because I'm a Packers fan, Coach cut a promo right at the beginning, and he was wearing a Brett Favre jersey in Chicago. People were going nuts. And when in the ring, he was wearing a Packers t-shirt, and he was whipping JR with this whip and this belt. And, oh, man, it was brutal. And by the end of the match, this is what made me laugh so hard. Eric Bischoff came in, and JR just started whipping him, and Coach went to check on him, make sure he's okay. And Coach turned around. JR came running at him, kicked him right in the nads, and he hit him with the stunner. Pinned him 1, 2, 3. I was laughing so hard. It was great.
Oh, I definitely have to check out this Raw now.
It was great. So it was a very good Raw. 2003, September 29th. I advise everybody to check this one out.
I 100% agree with you. All right, what's our next tidbit there, Professor?
2005, CM Punk wins his debut for OVW, a win against Danny Inferno.
Danny Inferno.
I looked him up, and he's just some guy from the Independence. I never went too far. I didn't see any of his matches, but he was in OVW for a while, so he obviously was in WWE developmental. So,
yeah, and I mean, CM Punk got his first ever OVW win over him.
Yep, so he can always say that.
Yeah.
So, moving on to 2006.
2006, that's the year I graduated high school.
That's the year before I graduated high school.
Weird.
So anyways, just incredible. Yeah. One of the best names in wrestling history.
I used to wrestle on an E-Fed under the name Just Insane.
Oh, E-Feds. There's my tie-in with this a little bit.
Oh!
Okay. Just Incredible was officially released from the WWE. You know why?
Why?
He did something you just recently did to your E-Federation. It was a no-show.
Oh.
So...
Continuity. He's all throwing barbs.
Well, you didn't do your homework.
Yeah.
Continuity. Anyway, so he didn't show up for an ECW taping, and afterwards he didn't discuss it with management. And so, as you can probably imagine, they were pretty peeved. So the former ECW champion, later in interviews, he said he walked out after he saw the writing on the wall. On his career and the ECW brand as a whole.
Oh, man. That's terrible. Sorry. The way you said, you're pretty peeved. I'm sorry. That was really funny to me.
Can't even get through a day, huh? Anyways, we're going to move on. We're going to try a new day. Yes, it is.
Yeah, nice.
And move on to September 30th, and maybe it won't be so chaotic.
Hopefully it won't be. Also, just fun fact about this. This is my brother's birthday because we're recording on it right now. So happy birthday to my brother, Zach.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Zach.
There's a birthday before we get any others.
And there will be a couple coming up here soon.
Hey, he shares a birthday with some cool people, hopefully.
He does a couple cool people, actually. Nice. Actually, one cool person. Another person is, We'll see about this in a minute. We're going to September 30th, 2002. We're going to Raw, Houston, Texas, home of Booker T. Kane defeats Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental title.
Ooh. Does this make Kane a Grand Slam champion yet?
This might be when he becomes Grand Slam champion, but that is not in my notes.
I was just asking.
There's another fun fact, though.
Oh, okay.
Kind of similar to that, but not really. Kane was already one half of the tag team champions, and there was a possibility of being a triple champion by the end of No Mercy 3 weeks later.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't to be. Kane would lose the tag titles the week before No Mercy and would lose the Intercontinental title at the event to Triple H.
Oh.
So poor Kane.
Poor Kane.
Now we're getting to our birthdays.
Birthdays!
First of all, first birthday. Milwaukee's own.
Austin Aries.
Candice Michelle.
Aww.
39.
All right. Well, I tried to guess.
There's still some chaos here.
Yeah.
That was a good guess, though.
I'm sorry.
Could have said Tommaso Ciampa as well.
There's a couple guesses. But Candice Michelle is whose birthday it really is.
And she's turning 39 today.
Happy birthday to her.
And the next birthday today is Stacey Lee Carter, a.k.a. Miss Kitty, a.k.a. The Cat.
A.K.A. Jerry Lawler's ex-wife.
Yeah, the reason he quit for 6 months.
Yep.
And we got Paul Heyman.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yes, she's turning 47.
Well, a happy birthday to her as well.
And she did a no-no on a pay-per-view one time and took off her top.
Yeah,
Fun fact.
We all remember that because we were teenage boys at the time.
I was like 10 or 11, so
yeah.
It was even better.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to October 1st, 2005. TNA debuts on Spike TV.
Hey.
And fun fact, it was the first time since, I believe, the 80s that there was two wrestling promotions on the same channel because later on that week, Spike aired the final Velocity.
Oh, wow.
So for 1 week, Spike had WWE and TNA programming.
Wow, that's a crazy fact there.
It is a crazy fact. I didn't put it in my notes. I got that one from memory.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. I don't use any of that alpha brain booster that Stone Cold uses, but maybe I don't need it.
Hey, you're the professor, Diesel, so.
I'm bald like Stone Cold. Then I got a goatee.
Hey, it's the similarities are astounding.
That's pretty much why I'm bald and I have a goatee is because of Stone Cold.
Hey-o.
Let's get honest. 2010.
Still on September 30th.
October 1st.
October 1st. I'm sorry. I missed that.
That's all right. At least you're keeping us honest here. Got WWE SmackDown debuts on Sci-Fi.
Oh, I do actually remember this.
5 years after Impact debuts on Spike. Weird. And so the episode was live.
Yeah.
And before the episode, they had a one-hour live pre-show on Sci-Fi, which is weird because they wouldn't do that today.
No, definitely not.
I mean, they don't even have the pre-show on the network anymore, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense.
And I don't have any of the matches listed off. I kind of went looked over them and like, it was okay. So we're going to move on to October 2nd.
October 2nd.
We're going to Raw. 2006, right. Topeka, Kansas.
All right.
From Kansas, Jeff Hardy defeated Johnny Nitro to win the WWE Intercontinental Championship.
Hey!
This lesson's all about the Intercontinental Championship.
I was going to say, a lot of things happened to the Intercontinental Championship during this week.
That is very true. So I don't know how many times it was for Jeff Hardy. Probably multiple by that point.
Probably at least four.
Yeah, 2006, yeah.
At least four.
But he's still going by Johnny Nitro, and so...
So yeah, this was before he would have tagged with The Miz.
Yeah, because he was John Morrison then, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to 2007. John Cena is diagnosed with a torn right pectoral muscle by Dr. James Andrews. The tear occurred during a botched hip toss in a match with Mr. Kennedy the previous night.
Yeah, Mr. Kennedy. Always screwing up.
The injury ended Cena's 380-day reign as WWE champion. At the time, was the longest WWE championship run of the modern era and the sixth longest in company history. Though the timetable for his return was an estimated 6 to 8 months, he returned about 4 months later and won the 2008 Royal Rumble match.
I remember all of this. I wasn't really watching wrestling like fully at the time, but I've gone back and looked over all of this stuff. Like, I was in and out of wrestling at this point.
Oh, it's a great moment. It's one of the best moments of all time, as people didn't know that John Cena was going to be number 30.
Yeah, no, it didn't make any sense. He should not have been able to heal. That's why he's my Superman, because there's no way.
It was in Madison Square Garden, and I just remember his music hit. He walked out with his hands folded down, his head down. He looked up with that smile and did the salute, ran into the ring, and he won it all.
Yep, it was an awesome moment.
It was awesome for sure. Now we're moving on. October 3rd.
October 3rd.
1999, the WWF, via press release on their website, announced that writers Vince Russo and Ed Ferrara were leaving for WCW following a secret meeting over the weekend in Atlanta. Shiesty.
Well, that signaled the end of WCW pretty much, so...
And there's a conspiracy theory out there saying Vince McMahon sent them to WCW because he knew they were trash, and he knew that they were kind of like ticking time bombs, and he knew exactly what would happen. And I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't doubt it either, because Vince McMahon's kind of a crazy person, and I feel like he would do something like that.
And with Vince Russo and WCW, he had no one to tell him no, and that was a big problem.
Yeah, no, it was terrible. Once again, Vince Russo, if you ever listen to this podcast, please block us, because you are the worst. Brought it up last week, probably brought it up a week before that as well, because you're the worst. I hate you. Destroyed everything. You know, destroyed it all.
It's my favorite word, Chad. Continuity.
Yeah.
Okay, 2005. Raw returned home to the USA Network. We're talking about last week when they left the USA Network. And I don't know what was a fun fact about this show.
What was the fun fact about this show, Diesel?
Stone Cold stunned every McMahon, including Linda.
Wow. Yep.
Fun fact.
That is a fun fact. That's a tidbit, if you will.
It is a tidbit in the highest. 2013, WWE signed Leah Van Dale to a WWE developmental contract.
Oh, interesting. Who is?
Would you like to know who Leah Van Dale is?
I would love to know who it is.
Okay, well, Van Dale was a former cheerleader for the Los Angeles Lakers, New England Patriots. She is a second-generation wrestler, as her father, Paul Van Dale, was enhancement talent for the WWF in the 90s. Today, you may know Leah as Carmella.
Oh, very interesting.
Very interesting indeed.
Yeah, that's, what, 2013. So, wow, 4 years later and she's Miss Money in the Bank.
And I like Carmella a lot.
I really do too. She improved. I didn't think she was ready to be called up, and she's proved me wrong.
Me as well.
Yeah, I love her promo work lately, and her and James Ellsworth. I really do hope they go with the Dolph Ziggler route with her, and she holds that briefcase for almost a whole year. And then she just cashes in. Just sometime randomly when no one sees it coming.
You're right, Chad. I agree. I can't see fault in that at all.
Yeah, no, it'd be a great way to go for that. But, Professor, you keep going with your class. I'm sorry to keep interrupting.
That's fine. I'm just not getting any gold stars.
I understand. I screwed up, so I don't get any gold stars this week.
So, you ready for another birthday?
I am ready for another birthday!
This guy is known, once was known as Johnny Nitro. Once was known as John Morrison. Sometimes he's still known as Johnny Mundo. And also, he's sometimes known as Johnny Impact. John Hennigan is his real name.
Yep, and how old is he?
38.
38. Nice to know. Happy birthday in a couple days.
Happy freaking birthday.
Ayo.
Seth freaking Rollins. October 4th. 1975.
Wow, that's not Seth Rollins' time.
No, I don't even think he was alive.
Not even close.
Yeah, he was born a couple years early. I think he's my age.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, that's depressing. On this day, October 4th, 1975, there was a plane crash.
Oh, this is Ric Flair, isn't it?
This is Ric Flair.
Yeah.
The plane was piloted by Vietnam War veteran Joseph Michael Farkas, carrying Ric Flair, David Crockett, Bob Ruggers, Tim Woods, and Johnny Valentine. To lighten the plane's heavy load, the pilot chose to dump fuel instead of redistributing weight through the plane. The choice proved costly, as the plane ran out of gas. Who would have imagined?
Dump fuel and run out of gas. It's a shocking, shocking set of situations.
The plane sank from about 4,000 feet and crashed just 100 yards, a football field, short of the runway. If you just saved a little bit of that gas, it would have maybe made it. And so anyways, they almost hit a water tower as well. Jeez. And everyone aboard initially survived the plane crash. Though they were all seriously injured, David Crockett, who was supposed to be on the plane, who wasn't supposed to be on the plane, suffered head and arm injuries and lost two teeth. Bruggers, Valentine's, Woods, Flair all suffered back injuries. Woods also suffered a concussion and bruised ribs.
And this completely impacted Ric Flair's career for the rest of his entire life.
He broke his back.
Yep, he broke his back, and it changed his wrestling style, and he's still one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he was a bigger fella back then.
Yeah.
He caused him to lose a lot of weight, and that's why he changed his wrestling style, and that's why he came up with that bump in the corner where he does the flip.
Yep, the flip over.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
And Ric Flair is the man. So imagine if this wouldn't have happened to him, maybe we wouldn't have the Nature Boy.
It would have been a totally different Ric Flair, but I mean, yeah.
Crazy. Sometimes bad things happen for good reasons, I guess.
I guess. I mean, chaos theory. You just never know what would have happened if he never would have been in that plane crash.
Yeah, our final birthday in this history lesson, Chad.
Birthday!
Linda McMahon.
Oh, how old's Linda?
69.
Oh. I'm not going to make a joke because I like Linda McMahon, so.
I do too.
Happy birthday in 5 days. 4 days.
3, 2, 1. We're going to October 5th.
Yayo, October 5th.
2011. This is our final tidbit.
Oh, final tidbit. October 5th.
2011.
Here we go.
At PWG's Steen Wolfen in Reseda, California, El Generico defeated Kevin Steen in a ladder match to win the PWG World Heavyweight Championship. I just think that's a good note to end class on.
I think that is a really great note because it's the greatest rivalry of all time, and they will fight forever.
And I guess end of class a little soon. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, never mind. There's the bell. So.
Oh, there was the bell. Kids, go get your snacks. Go get those cookies.
Dunk them in some milk and watch a good after-school special, maybe some wrestling.
And that was Pro Wrestling History 101, which was probably the best class ever. I enjoyed it more than the rest of the classes, I can say.
You didn't do your homework.
I didn't do my homework, and I didn't get yelled at too much about it. So next week, though, I'll make sure to do my homework. Send it to me a little earlier, though. I feel like you gave me my homework a little late.
You didn't ask for it until Friday.
I asked for it before Friday.
Well, not officially.
Nah, you're a jerk. I'm just kidding.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I'm just kidding, Professor. You're not a jerk at all. You're the best professor I've ever had. But we're going to move right along.
It's more like it.
Yeah, we're going to move right along, and we're going to go into our No Mercy review, which was...
Review.
And which, in my opinion, was a pretty solid pay-per-view, but we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to roll right ahead. Do we want to talk about the Elias Sampson versus Apollo Crews match?
Nah, it was there. It happened.
Yeah, I don't really feel like it. It was on the pre-show, so I feel like we're just going to move right ahead into what was the opening of the show, which was The Miz versus Jason Jordan for the Intercontinental title, and The Miz won, just like I told you he would.
You told me he would, but you didn't argue it enough for me to fall on your side.
It's true. But I told you he was going to win. It was a solid match. Jason Jordan looked good in the match. I loved when he did suplex The Miz into the Miztourage. It was a great spot. It was a lot of fun. It was a good match. It was a great way to open.
Yeah, it was a good match. The crowd was really into that match. And
yeah.
They're really behind The Miz because he's billed from Los Angeles, California. So I think the WWE kind of messed up on that with the whole trying to have Jason Jordan as the face in that match when it was obviously not going to work.
Yeah, no, it was kind of like a WrestleMania moment over again, where The Miz was so over in the mixed tag team match when they didn't know what to do in that match.
Yeah, exactly. And then have Jason Jordan have that in-ring interview afterwards, and that was bad.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
They should have known that. Just let's just can that and just go on to the next match before we even started. In-ring interviews are kind of lame anyways. Unless you have Mean Gene, they're not very good.
Yeah, no, it was not a good segment for Jason Jordan. I was really enjoying Jason Jordan because he was getting over with his wrestling. He wasn't getting over with promos or anything. And then they went back to the in-ring promo, and I feel like he took a step back with that. And I'm a little worried about it now. I don't know where he really goes from here.
Yeah, I don't know. What did they do with him on Raw?
He tagged with Matt Hardy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of just a random, kind of not really random because they've been kind of working together in six-man tags, but, I mean, you know, he's going to be Matt Hardy's partner now that Jeff's out?
I mean, I don't know. If that's the plan, I don't really like it because that means that both of them are just coasting along. So I don't really enjoy that at all. So we'll just move on then.
Okay.
The next match on the card was Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. And Finn Balor got the win as just Finn Balor, not the Demon. It was actually a really good match. I enjoy their work together. They actually have good chemistry in the ring. It seems hard-hitting. They work really well together, but there was just no storyline that I cared about in this match. So, like, as good as the match was, I just don't think I cared that much.
I don't know. I made the match better because I didn't care that much because the match was that good. I mean, because both of them are awesome talents, you know. And I don't know. I really enjoy them together. I like how when Finn Balor does Sling Blade and then he comes up to do the drop kick, Bray always steps aside like he scouted the move and no one else has. And so, I mean, the match was fun. It was different than their other first two matches. I think it was the best one out of the three.
When Bray Wyatt was literally doing the suplex tosses to him, like pulling him into a vertical suplex and then just tossing him, is one of my favorite moments I've seen all year. Because it was like they really do work together so well. And I really wish the WWE could just write a story that they could sink their teeth into because they're really good together. Like their chemistry in the ring is really good. Like they play off each other's strengths so well. Finn is fast and strong, and Bray Wyatt's just a brick and fast. It's awesome.
It is awesome. But my question for you in this match was, what'd you think of Finn's ring gear?
The light gray, it threw me off at first. I thought at first my TV like color was off because I was like, what's going on here? But then after looking at it for a while, I actually kind of liked it. I liked the like slate gray, light blue gray. I don't really know what color to call it even.
Silver.
It was more of a gray though. It didn't shine. So
I don't know. To me, when I saw it, the first thing that came to mind was Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just looked like something Zack Sabre Jr. would wear. And I don't know. I liked it.
I liked it as well. I'm not saying I didn't. It was a color that I can't describe well to other people.
I mean, a lot of times you don't really notice when someone changes up their gear, but that was almost a drastic change because he's always in the black. And
oh, yeah, no, it was an immediate thing. Like, I honestly thought the color on my TV was off. And I was like, oh, no, my TV's breaking.
He looked different, but I liked it.
Yeah, totally liked it. As I said, I liked the match a lot. This is actually one of my favorite matches on the entire card, to be honest.
It was a good one.
So the next match on the card, we had probably the best, probably second best match on the whole thing, which was the tag team match between two parts of the Shield. I'm still going to call them that. Ambrose and Rollins versus The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro. And Cesaro literally lost like three teeth from this match and got a whole bunch of stitches.
He didn't lose any teeth.
They just went, come on.
They went up into his jaw and, oh, man. And, yeah, it's painful just thinking about. But, yeah, he's going to have surgery. I don't know if it's already been done, but they're going to have to remove his front teeth and then put in implants and not the good kind either.
No, it's not. That's really bad.
I mean, what was he thinking, like, going back that far? And
he's too strong. He jumped too far. That's a slingshot move right there. Like, it's all on the guy to jump, but he jumped way too far.
But I mean, credit to him just carrying on like he nothing stuck happened.
It out. Oh my gosh, when he had him in the crossface and he was just bleeding, I was like, please just give Cesaro the win here. I don't even care if we lose the points. He's just bleeding all over, looking like a crazy person. It was awesome.
And this match was just was accelerated from the opening bell. It just kept on going, getting better and better and better. And
oh yeah. This was the best tag team match that Raw has put on since WrestleMania, and the only reason the WrestleMania ladder match was better was because of the Hardy Boys shock. And by shock, I mean I was shocked. I knew it might happen, but I was still just blown away by it happening. So
I completely know what you mean by that.
Yeah, but this is definitely the best Raw tag team match that has happened since WrestleMania, and it was awesome.
It's definitely a tag team match of the year candidate. I don't think it's the match of the year for the tag teams, but it's up there, top three.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. They can't beat out the Usos in the New Day yet, but they do have great chemistry, and we'll see. Maybe if they get a couple more rematches, we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe this whole Shield reunion will be The Miz and The Bar versus The Shield, which I think would be a better pairing than The Miz Strage and feel more like a big match.
Oh, yeah, if we got The Bar and The Miz versus The Shield, that would be a way bigger. And then I would actually see somehow maybe The Miz and The Shield wins. The Shield wins.
I'm very intrigued, though.
I'm very intrigued. So clearly Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins won this match. Just to update everyone for our picks, I was 3-0 at this point. Diesel was 2-1, and JR was also 2-1. Next match was the Fatal 5-Way for the women's title between Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Emma, and Nia Jax. And Alexa Bliss clearly won. I probably should have known she was going to win. I went with Sasha Banks. I just wanted to go with Sasha Banks. I wanted to go a little outside the box. I have no problems with Alexa Bliss winning. She's a fantastic champion. But I did get the correct person who got pinned, which was Bayley.
See, I picked Alexa Bliss pinning Bayley. And I know how you feel about wanting to go outside the box. That's how I kind of felt about Jason Jordan. So stop giving me flack about that. And let's just agree, we both messed up on this one. We advanced.
We advanced.
Spoiler alert, we advanced in the Survivor Series elimination game.
As I like to call it, the podcast Battle Royale.
Royale. I like it. So, but the match, I liked the match. I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was a phenomenal match, and the quadruple, or it was a five-way spot when they powerbombed Nia Jax.
Yeah, two on the outside, yeah. And then two drop kicking.
Yeah, it was the first time I've ever honestly seen a spot with that many people that made complete sense. It made 100% logical sense. There was no like, ooh, they were just waiting to do this. It made complete sense to why it all happened, and it was awesome, and it was vicious. I thought Nia Jax was out.
Yeah, that was a wicked back bump on the floor. I mean, yeah, that had to feel bad.
This was the best match Nia Jax has worked in her entire WWE career so far, and she was awesome in that match. When she did the double Samoan drop and was just pressing them and then dropped both of them at the same time.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing as well. This was a good match. I mean, it seems like they're not going with Nia and Alexa, like at least right now, which is kind of strange because that's kind of how they made it seem that, I don't know, maybe they just want you to want this feud and then they'll give it to you when they feel
at
like
WrestleMania
it.
Time. Because, yeah, it does seem like this feud has been building the entire time that we should have an Alexa versus Nia feud.
So, yeah, I don't know. But the match was really good. I really liked that Alexa Bliss retained. I liked the way she retained.
Yeah, she outsmarted people. She came in at the last second, got their quick DDT. I like that her finisher is just a DDT.
Yeah, instead of the sparkle splash all the time.
Yeah, the DDT is just a great
and instant bliss.
It's a little quick one. It's always going to be a sparkle splash. Don't you ever say that again.
Twisted Bliss is a close second for a good name, though.
Yeah, it's close, but not nearly as great as a sparkle splash.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Twisted Bliss is a good one. But,
all right. Move on. So we're moving on to the match of the night, which was clearly John Cena versus Roman Reigns in a match for the yard, if you will. And Roman Reigns won. And It started slow. I even texted Diesel about this, that the match did start slow to me, but then it picked up so much steam and it didn't stop and it just kept blowing up. And I honestly thought John Cena was going to win so many times during that match. And I had a massive mark attacks every time Roman Reigns kicked out at the last possible second. When he kicked out of the Avalanche, the Super Avalanche AA, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't either. And I mean, the match starting out slow, I kind of figured that's the way they go about it. I mean, kind of get the people like invested and then bring them up like through the match, like lock them in and then bring them with, you know. And like it started ramping up when they did that table spot when he was going set up for the AA on the announce tables, and Roman Reigns countered with a spear.
Oh, when he speared him through the table. That was one of the best spears through a table I've ever seen.
He cheated himself, though. Yeah. I mean, he took the brunt of that spear. It was not very good.
Anytime you spear someone through a table that's like that, you're going to have to take it because your head's going to go.
Yeah, but down. It was bad. It was a bad one. But,
yeah, and Roman Reigns pressed on.
Yeah, he sure did. He's a tough guy. And at the end of the ring and back and forth, then all the AAs, like you said, the Avalanche AA, and I thought that, yeah, it looked like he was going to be down for the count, and somehow he got his shoulder up at the final second.
You know what
my
favorite thing that John Cena has started doing that he stole from Okada in New Japan is when he dives and rolls into another AA?
Yeah, double AA.
Yeah, exactly. It's my favorite thing. He stole it completely from Okada, but I don't care because John Cena is actually really good at it. And actually, when Roman Reigns kicked out of that one is actually when I had the bigger mark attacks. I was like, no way. This is the fourth one. If he kicks out, I was like, no, they can't let John Cena hit four AAs, and he still kicks out. But he did.
And it's smart the way they're doing it, trying to make Roman seem like invincible. Because, I mean, obviously, if you don't think that it's going to be Roman versus Brock at WrestleMania, you're nuts. I mean, it's like later with the whole F5, we'll be talking about that later. It's the same thing. But they need to build it this way because they chose him to be the guy.
They did choose him to be the man, the guy, the big dog, whatever the heck you want to call him.
And, like it or not, you know.
Yeah, but I agree with it. I do like Roman Reigns. I think he takes way too much flack. He has been in so many good matches, and everyone's always like, oh, the other guy carried him. But you can't be in that many. There's a common denominator in those matches, and it's Roman Reigns. And he's been in a lot of really good matches.
See, the thing about Roman Reigns is he is the guy. He has it. I can see that he is the future. But the problem is, like, the people in the back, like Vince McMahon, saw this before everyone else saw it. And he prematurely put him in this spot when the people didn't see it. Now they don't want to believe it.
Yep.
They'll do, like, so many people thought John Cena was going to win because they didn't want to believe that Roman Reigns was going to win again. And somehow they tricked themselves into believing that it's not the way it really is. And I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, if you think about it that way, I think that's why people don't like Roman Reigns.
Yeah, no. He definitely was prematurely shoved down our throats. But that's not even 100% true. I mean, like, because he came up with the Shield. And you can't really lie. He probably was the most popular member of the Shield.
He was really popular after they broke up, too.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, like, but then Vince McMahon went too far, too fast. And that's really, I 100% agree with you. He hit the gas pedal a little too hard. He hit a jackrabbit start, if you will.
I am very happy he won this match. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, John Cena raised his hand. I mean, it's for future video packages, like when his retirement, when he's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, they're going to show all these legends raising his hand and like, this is the guy. Like, we knew it back then and we were right, you know, and I believe that he is the guy.
Yeah, and, no.
I mean, so I don't have a problem with it. I do like that it kind of was like, felt like a heel move though, kind of like, I don't know, it just felt naughty.
Yeah. I really do kind of wish that Roman would have hit him afterwards.
Oh yeah, that would have been better for sure.
It would have been way better, but I do understand the hand raising. It is something for the video packages in the future. It is something that, you know, it should resonate with the crowd, and the crowd are just being dicks at times. But honestly, if you really look at it, it is a passing of the torch. And John Cena on Raw Talk, which I did watch, even though I was very upset, there's still Jerry Lawler on there. I watched it, and John Cena was great on there. But, you know, he did. He called it a passing of the torch and everything. And that's really what that match was.
I mean, after Roman left the ring, John Cena was sitting in the corner and just sitting there and breathing it in, you know, and people were getting louder and louder and louder, and he just looking around, and all of a sudden you get a thank you, Cena. It's like, I mean, 5 years ago, like, there's no way that you would ever thought that Cena would be sitting in the middle of the ring and people would chant thank you, Cena, like everybody. Yeah. He wasn't getting booed. It was a really good moment. It makes me kind of sad because it's the end of an era. I mean, he's not retiring, but it's not going to be the same. It's going to be like The Rock now. He'll come back every now and then, maybe have a match once in a while and surprise you on Raw when his music hits and you're going to get all jacked up and you're going to be sad when he leaves again. And it's an end of an era and it's a sad thing.
No, I 100% agree with you. I mean, I think John Cena will be back more than The Rock.
Right away, but...
Yeah, and it'll eventually fade. I mean, he's about to be on, like, three different movies, and he's becoming The Rock. It's insane.
It is insane.
It's everything that he said he didn't want to do, and it's all come true.
I mean, he is one of the hardest working guys that I've ever seen. Like, if everything he does with wrestling and everything he balances with his movies and his appearances and hosting, like, the Kids' Choice Awards and the Teen Choice Awards.
And doing all the Make-A-Wish stuff. There's a reason I called him my Superman. He is the insane person. He could also be Batman, same way. I agree with you. Batman or Superman, he could be both. Like, John Cena is one of probably the greatest persons who's ever lived. And he's a pro wrestler, but he does so much for everything. And with the power that he wields, he does great things.
I feel special that I got to see him perform in person, too. I mean,
well, I've seen him perform in person multiple times, and it's always worth it. He puts on a show for every single person every time. He cares.
He does. So, we should move on.
Yeah, we probably should move on of our John Cena love. It's
before we start crying.
Yeah. All right. So, the next match was the cooldown match of the card. And I'm so mad about this as well. This was Neville versus Enzo for the Cruiserweight Championship. And can you go first, Diesel, so I don't start swearing?
Well, this is kind of like what I was talking about Roman Reigns, when people try to, like, they don't believe it. They, you know what I mean? They try to, like, say, this isn't really happening. They won't buy into it at all. The same thing with Enzo. Deep down, I knew Enzo was going to win this match, but I didn't want to admit it to myself. I'm like, no, they're not really going to do that. It's just they want you to feel this way that they're going to do that. They're not really going to do that. They're going to do that, aren't they? They did it. I don't know. I mean, I feel a lot better about it after watching 205 Live, but
I felt better about it after just watching Raw. I mean, when the entire Cruiserweight division, and then if you watch all the YouTube stuff of the after Raw, where the entire Cruiserweight division attacked him, and then Braun Strowman came out. Like, that was very cathartic.
Braun Strowman came out first, power slammed him, and then there you go, guys. And they came in the ring, and they picked the bones. It's weird that, I don't know if this, I don't know if I like Enzo as a heel wrestler. I'd like him as a heel manager. I think as a wrestler, I liked him as the underdog, goofy guy. I don't know, I'm just not feeling it, you know. Maybe I will in a couple weeks, but right now, I don't know. I mean, it would have been a lot worse if they would have never taken the title off of Neville before SummerSlam. If this was when he lost the title, then, I mean, I would be so upset. I mean, I'd be threatening to stop watching the WWE, even though there's no chance in hell that I would.
I know. I love how everyone always says that. I'm never going to watch WWE again. Really? Really, bro? Yeah, you are. You're going to watch it again. And if you really mean it then, well, then I'm proud of you. But you are 1 in 100 people who actually says what they're going to do on that one. I hated this so much. And it was a good match. My two biggest, like, I liked No Mercy. We're not talking about grades of No Mercy yet. But I'll tell you, up until this point, I was jacked about No Mercy. Loved everything. I was like, yes, yes, yes. I have no problems with anything. I did not like this match for the fact that that Neville went down to one blow to the gonads. I'm sorry. Neville has kicked out of a lot worse and won, and he dominated the entire match. Just annoyed the crap out of me.
Okay. You know what's really dumb about this? Put this in perspective. I watched this with my sister. She doesn't watch wrestling, but she just wanted to watch with me. And she doesn't know the rules. And Enzo was outside of the ring. The ref was counting. He got to like 9, and he picked up the belt, and the ref stopped counting. My sister goes, well, why'd he stop counting? I mean,
I thought of that as well.
Like, she doesn't even know the rules, but she knew that that doesn't seem right. And for no reason at all, the ref just stops counting, and Enzo gets in the ring with the belt. Ref takes the belt from him, kicks him in the balls, and then that's the match. It's like, that was the stupidest thing ever. That was a horrible way of ending a match.
Yeah, no. What did we get a 20 count? Did it suddenly go to the New Japan rules where we get a 20 count? Because, Doug, it didn't make any sense. He picked up the belt, and then the ref stops counting because he's yelling at him for picking up the belt. Shouldn't matter.
It would have made more sense if it was like 7. Yeah. He picked up the belt, and then Neville came outside the ring because then the count restarts.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, that was just stupid.
It was terrible booking. And this is literally, it made me sour right here. I got very annoyed during this match. And now we'll move right into the main event, which was Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal title. And Brock Lesnar won this match. And I'm not okay with it because just like in the match before, Brock was dominated the entire match. The entire match. And he had to hit one move. One move to get the finish. And I just don't like it. I understand you're about to tell me why, and I'm okay with it. And I understand, but I'm going to say before this, I am not okay with it.
I am okay with it because I've accepted the fact long ago that it's going to be Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I have – so going into this match, I knew Brock Lesnar was going to win with 1-on-5. I knew Braun Strowman was going to dominate because it makes Brock Lesnar look stronger. So then when they do face off Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, it makes Roman Reigns look stronger when he kicks out of the F5. And it's a good story to tell. And I mean, I accepted it. It doesn't mean that I necessarily like it. I knew it was going to happen, so I wasn't upset about it. You know what I mean? And this is the outcome that I thought. I mean, there's better ways to do it for sure. Like I said last week, it should have been submission, pass out. That
would have been the best way to do it. Diesel, your version of the ending would have been the best possible outcome if you needed to have Brock Lesnar win. I understand because we talked about this before, that the reason that it keeps being 1-on-5 to win the match is because Roman Reigns is going to be the first one to kick out in for hell and ever. And I'm just annoyed. I understand the build. I understand all of that. But still, like, you're very, like, Braun Strowman, it was awesome on Raw, but I understand. Oh, I can't get over it. I think it was bad.
Hey, you almost said buried, and he was not.
He was not buried. He was never buried. He wasn't even close. No, I never said buried. He was buried. No,
and I don't think this is going to affect him at all because rumor has it that post WrestleMania they want to get back into Brock and Braun if Brock resigns, which I think that he might resign just to have this feud. And you know that probably Braun's going to come out on top too. And it's going to eventually, by SummerSlam, probably lead to, this is just me speculating, but lead to Braun and Roman for the belt. And which would be awesome because it's going to be a year further down the line, Braun's going to be that much better.
And Roman, Braun and Roman already are phenomenal exactly. together as well.
So, I mean, it's, I don't know, people are freaking out about it way too much, but another thing is with the F5, it's been booked strong since it's been used by Brock Lesnar.
People have kicked out of the F5 before now. Like, a lot of times people have kicked out of the F5.
I know, I understand that, but I'm just saying it's been booked pretty strong, especially lately since he came back after being UFC heavyweight champion. It's been booked pretty strong. And another thing is that the bigger you are, the harder you fall. I mean, if you subscribe to that theory, then Braun Strowman is a big boy, and I can totally believe him landing on his head like that would knock him out and be down for 3 seconds.
Well, it has been booked very strongly, but it's time to give your final, you know, resolution on what you thought of No Mercy this time, Diesel.
Well, I watched this live, and I don't watch them all live, but this one I watched live, and I had a really good time watching it. Like, it opened up with great match, which is probably the match they should have opened with Miz and Jason Jordan. And I thought everything went smoothly up until Enzo and Neville, and that was kind of a downer, but I didn't really have a problem with the last match. I mean, I thought it was a good match. I mean, we could have had a better match, but I thought it was a good match. So, I mean, I could have been in high spirits because the package just went in overtime like right before I started watching. So that could have been swayed my mood a little bit. So originally, right after the pay-per-view, I gave it an A-, and I'll stick to an A-. So 9 out of 10, 4.5 out of 5, whatever rating you want to go with.
That's fine. I did not watch it live. I watched a little bit later. I give it a B. Just a B. It was fine. It was nothing great about it.
Better than average.
Better than average, but nothing great. I really was soured at the final end of it. Everything else about the pay-per-view was pretty good. I really enjoyed, you know, the John Cena-Roman Reigns match. But just the final two matches really left a sour taste in my mouth. And made me drop it down to a B. It probably would have been an A- had not the final two matches happened. So I just want to talk about real quick, for the Better Lucky Than Good Wrestling Championship, I retained through a tie, because a champion always retains in a tie.
No contest.
No contest. That does mean that both me and JR will have to drink a pint of pickle juice, which is going to be hilarious. Don't worry. Can't wait. We will be filming this, and I will be posting it wherever the heck I can, all over everywhere, because we'll do it together, and it's going to be hilarious, because either one or both of us might vomit.
And if you don't like vomit, well, that's too bad, I guess.
Don't watch it, because it'll still be funny.
Yes, we'll just listen to the audio.
Yeah, that's even worse.
You imagine something else. I don't know what you can imagine, but something else.
Yeah, all right. So, Diesel, final thoughts for the evening. Anything from you?
Well, I thought tonight was really fun. We had good rapport.
Hey, look at you using big words. I was just going to say rapport right before you said it.
See, we're like...
Simpatico?
We're on the same wavelength here.
Simpatico.
Well, you say simpatico, I say simpatico.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, well, I guess we're going to end the show, so might as well. But final takeaways from tonight, like for what we're going to do, I don't know.
Next week is our Hell in a Cell prediction show. We might have JR on the show. We're not positive. He's trying to get off work.
I'm going to say more than likely, but it's not 100%.
Yeah, we're probably like a 70-30% chance right now that we'll have JR on the podcast next week.
He's really excited about it, so I'm sure he'll find a way.
And we have to determine who's going for the belt this time. I'm still the champ.
I thought we were going to do a number one contender between me and JR.
Thank God I don't have to even pick that.
I didn't earn anything, so I want to earn it.
All right. You can earn your title shot against that you'll never win, because I'm going to be champion from now until forever.
I could change my mind and cash in the – I forgot what I called it. The
Case of Destiny?
The Case of Destiny. That's the best name ever. I can't believe I can ever remember it.
I don't know. I don't remember the great name you thought of.
I don't know. But I can cash it in, and then I can have two different things going on at once, and that means I can get triple punished because we have a special punishment for whoever loses when the case is cashed in.
Yep. It's a pitcher of beer.
It is a pitcher of beer because we are luscious.
Yeah, we like to drink.
And so I'm excited for our picks next week. We'll do another round of the Survivor Series podcast Battle Royale, as Chad called it.
We will. I'm sorry we didn't talk about New Japan this week. I know that I posted a poll and asked what we should talk about, and I put New Japan on there, and I didn't talk about it at all. But I will do a special podcast for you guys. I'm going to do a 20, maybe 25 minute review of the Destruction Tour. And I'm going to post it just like I did for the G1, because that did win the podcast or the Twitter poll. And I feel bad that we didn't talk about it. So I will do a special thing for that.
Those are my favorite episodes.
Yeah. Are they, Diesel?
They are.
They're a dirty liar. Can you give us our social media handles?
If I can remember them all, I will. All
right.
So we are on Twitter, and I am at Diesel underscore VFTR. Chad is at View From Top Rope. We are on Facebook and Tumblr at View From The Top Rope. We have a Gmail account, which is aviewfromtoprope@gmail.com. If you want to hear us, if you want to try out a new podcast app and you're not listening to us on Stitcher, try out Stitcher. If you're not listening to us on SoundCloud, you can try out SoundCloud. Maybe go to the old-fashioned iTunes or Google Play. Who knows? But we're on all four of those, so check us out. Listen to all four. Just keep on listening to our podcast.
And please always remember to like, comment, share, subscribe, and come fight with us on Twitter. And ask our questions, because as we proved tonight, if you ask a question to us, we'll answer it on the podcast, because we're cool like that.
That's almost a guarantee.
It's almost 100% guarantee, and by almost, I mean, if you ask us a question, as long as it's not something so obscure that I can't say on the air, we'll answer it.
I agree. Well, did I miss any of the social media stuff?
I don't think so. I think you hit them all.
I feel pretty good about it.
I feel very good about it as well. So, for my good man Diesel, I have been Chad. We thank you for climbing high with us tonight, and we hope that you enjoyed our view from the top row.